وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always take the khidmat of deen from you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that our leader and master, Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began preaching Islam with full force and vigor. When the Quraysh gave up hope of any success against him and his uncle, they vented all the anger on those who embraced Islam and who had no one else to defend them. So each tribe fell upon members of its own tribe who had embraced Islam. They had to suffer imprisonment, assault, hunger, thirst, and the burning heat of the Meccan soil. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala an, and his mother had to suffer various types of torments and persecutions. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an was dragged on the burning sands of Arabia, the skin parted from his flesh, and he still proclaimed at that time, Ahad, Ahad, calling out toward the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's mother, Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, was also martyred. She was the first woman to state Shahada in Islam. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, when he embraced Islam, his uncle Hakam bin Abi al-As tied him up firmly, but eventually released him when he saw his firmness and conviction on Islam. He was also wrapped in a straw mat, rolled up and smoked from both ends. Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arad radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Quraysh caught me one day and took me to a place. They lit a fire, dragged me towards it, and cast me into it. A person then placed his leg on my chest and forced my back onto the ground. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu then revealed his back, which was covered with burn marks, which looked like leprosy. There is a well-known incident portraying how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was persecuted. The Quraysh leaders were assembled in the Hijr. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived and they all fell upon him and surrounded him. One of them held his shawl and tugged it in an effort to strangle him. The moment he saw this, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came between the two and said in a beseeching tone, "Are you going to kill a person solely because he says, 'My Lord is Allah'?" The man released Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was attacked. His head was injured. He was held by his beard and dragged out. The Quraysh called Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a liar and imposed various torments on him. He was accused of being a sorcerer, a poet, a fortune teller, and a madman. They resorted to new and innovative ways to persecute him and put him through every type of tribulation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in prostration in the masjid on one occasion. The Quraysh was seated nearby. Ukba ibn Abi Mu'ayth brought the entrails of a camel and threw them on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's back. He remained in prostration in this way until his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha arrived and removed everything from his back. She cursed the person, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also made dua against him. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw the ruthless persecutions which his companions had to endure and his inability to defend and protect them, he said to them, "It will be good if you emigrate to Abyssinia, because its king is not an oppressive person. It is a good country. You may remain there until Allah Ta'ala provides you a way out." A group of Muslims emigrated to Abyssinia. This was the first emigration in Islam. And for us in South Africa, it reminds us that it is the first emigration to the continent of Africa. It comprised of 10 people, with Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu as their leader. This was followed by another group under Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then many groups followed one after the other. Some of them went individually, while others went with their families. The total number of those who emigrated, who made hijrat, is said to be 83. But the Quraysh did not allow them to live in peace over there as well. They sent two people with many rare gifts and presents to Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, and requested him to send the Muslims back to their land. But Najashi did not accede and summoned the Muslims to establish the facts. He assembled his priests as well. He addressed the Muslims saying, "What is the religion for which you left your people? And after leaving it, you neither embraced my religion nor any other known religion." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's cousin, Hazrat Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala, who stood up and delivered a very eloquent speech. Inshallah, when we come to the discussion of the Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, and we'll narrate that speech. So when the Quraysh behaved in this manner, the Banu Hashim and Banu Abdul Muttalib joined hands with Abu Talib. They were then combined in a valley. This took place in the 7th year after prophethood. This confinement prolonged to such an extent that they were forced to eat the leaves of the acacia tree. The children would scream and cry out of hunger, and the screams were heard from great distances. So they were banished in the Shabi Abi Talib. 3 years passed under such dire circumstances, and some basic needs would reach them secretly. The Sahaba Ikram, one of them, found a piece of leather, and he chewed on that just to get a little bit of taste in his mouth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued fulfilling his responsibility of da'wah, even in this condition, by night and day, openly and in private. The Banu Hashim bore all these hardships with patience and in expectation of reward. So now the boycott, how it ended. A few sensible and level-headed people from the Quraysh experienced some dislike of this unjust boycott and expressed their disapproval by saying it was inhuman. Mutim ibn Adi went forward to tear the memorandum which was suspended on the Kaaba and noticed that it was entirely eaten by termites. Only the words "Bi ismikallahumma," commencing in your name, O Allah, remained on the memorandum. Nevertheless, it was torn and cast aside, and it was considered baseless. Abu Talib and Bibi Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anhu both passed away in the 10th year of prophethood. The excellent companionship, treatment, loyalty, support, and defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was well known. Abu Talib passed away without embracing Islam. After the demise of these two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to endure continuous difficulties and hardships. After the demise of Abu Talib, the Quraysh got the courage to impose many torments and persecutions on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which they could not do while his uncle Abu Talib was alive. Soil was thrown on his head on one occasion. When these torments continued for a long time, and the mushrikeen, the polytheists, and the unbelievers increased in the abhorrence of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided to go to Taif. He went with the intention of inviting the Thaqif tribe and obtaining their support. He had hopes of some good from them, and this is not surprising because he had spent his infancy among the Banu Sa'ad who lived near Taif. So the people of Taif owned properties and large tracts of land. They had large orchards and agricultural lands. This wealth and prosperity created pride and arrogance in them. They were embodiments of this verse of the noble Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا إِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. We did not send any warner to any town except that the affluent ones thereof began to say, we do not believe in what you have been sent with. They said, we are more in wealth, they depended on their wealth, and offspring, and we are not going to be punished. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Taif, he proceeded first to the leaders and seniors of the Thaqif tribe and invited them to Islam. But he received a harsh and cruel response. They mocked him and instigated the riffraff of the town and the slaves to mock and jeer at him. These people hurled abuses at him, taunted him, and threw stones at him. In this helpless and painful condition, he went and took refuge in the shade of a date tree. The torments which he experienced from the people of Taif were far more than that what he experienced at the hands of the Meccans. They stationed their men on either side of the road, and stones were hurled at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at every step he took. Both his feet were injured and were streaming with blood. Under such a situation, his heart and tongue spontaneously uttered the following supplication. He mentioned his weakness, lack of resources, and the people's total disregard for him to Allah Ta'ala. He beseeched Allah Ta'ala for his help and assistance with the following words. Allahumma ilayka ashku du'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas ya arhamar rahimin. Anta rabbul mustada'fin ila man takilni ila ba'idin yatahajjamuni am ila aduwwin manaktahu amri. In lam yakun bika ghadabun 'alayya fala ubali ghayra an afiyatak awsa'u li. أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت له الظلمات وصلح عليه أمر الدنيا والآخرة من أن ينزل بي غضبك أو يحل علي سخطك ولك العتبى حتى ترضى ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. These words should be written in gold. O Allah, to you alone I complain about the weakness of my strength, my lack of resources, and my insignificance in the eyes of the people. O the most merciful of those who show mercy, you are the Lord of the oppressed. To whom are you handing me over? Is it to a distant person who looks at me with a scowl, or to an enemy to whom you have given control over me? If you are not angry with me, I have nothing to worry about. However, your peace is more sufficient for me. I seek refuge through your illuminated countenance, with which darkness is turned into light, and with which the affairs of this world and the year after are in order, that your wrath descends upon me or your displeasure comes on me. You have the sole right of making me accept until you are pleased. There is no way of saving oneself from sin, and there is no power to worship except through you, O Allah. So Allah Ta'ala sent the angels of the mountains to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who asked him for his permission to crush the two mountains which are on either side of Taif, to completely destroy the city and its inhabitants. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, no, I hope there will be someone from their progeny who worships Allah Ta'ala alone and does not ascribe any partner with him. This was such a beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even for his enemies. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent from the progeny of the people of Taif, Muhammad ibn Qasim, to the Sindh province of India, who took the message of Islam to the east. So When Utbah ibn Rabi'ah and Shayba ibn Rabi'ah saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's condition, their hearts softened a bit and they felt some human concern for him. So they summoned for one of their Christian slaves by the name of Adas, ordered him to place a bunch of grapes on a plate and present it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adas carried out the order, and after listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's manner of speech and observing his noble character, he became a Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Adas." "And where do you hail from?" He said, "I come from Nineveh." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "That is the city of my brother, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam." Adas was astounded at this reply, because it was the city of Yunus alayhi salam. And then he embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even in a pitiable state, bleeding, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still carried out da'wah and tabligh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the highest abode in the year after. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.